Our scripture reading today is from John 1, 6 through 8, and 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him that he was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, he did not deny, but he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then are you, Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then he said him to them, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now when they had been sent from the Pharisees, they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And he answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that reading. I'm going to ask you to do something I haven't asked you to do before that I recall, and that is we're going to dissect the scripture. And if you're in seminary, you know dissecting scripture is probably one of the most fun things you'll ever do, and you'll wish you hadn't been in that class, but that's what we do. We dissect. Now, when John read the scripture, did you hear anything that may have sounded just a little strange about this passage? You know, being in tune with Scripture, that is, preparing ourselves spiritually in whatever way we may do that, helps us to perceive nuances in what we're reading. So let's begin our dissection of the Scripture. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. You hear anything there? Let's see. A man sent from God. Well, nothing there, I guess. After all, John was a man, and he was sent by God. No nuance there. It's just a fact. And he did come for testimony to bear witness to the light, as we call Jesus, so all might believe through him. And it is made clear that John was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. So far, everything seems good in this scripture passage. Nothing strange. It's pretty straightforward. You know, there's a story told of two men who worked in the audit department of a large bank. They made an overnight trip to a distant branch of the bank and were dining in a local restaurant. The chief auditor told the other men, "First we'll hit the tellers, then we get the vault." They arrived at the bank the next morning only to be promptly arrested by the state police. Upon inquiry, they discovered a police captain had eaten at the same restaurant and had overheard the conversation about hitting the tellers and getting the vault. The police captain had made a very good assumption about the situation based on the information as he had overheard it. But his assumption was also very wrong. John did not want anyone to make false assumptions when we seek the mind of the Lord. So he told us exactly how it is with God and what God expected of them. Bear witness to the light. I don't want you to assume that I'm that person. I'm not. I don't want you to think of anyone else. This is what I'm doing. I'm bearing witness. So maybe it's the second part of this scripture. Maybe we can find something there. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him then, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, this is very interesting because the writer of the gospel wants us to hear loud and clear that John the Baptist confessed, not denied, he was the Christ. What makes that important? Because to deny would imply that someone asked him if he was or accused him of being the Christ. They did not. John the Baptist simply offered the information. "I just want you to know. You don't even have to ask. I'm telling you, I'm not the one to follow." Then what? They began to ask if he was Elijah or the prophet, and he said no. So again they asked him, "Who are you?" And they begged for an answer. Now, these are some serious folks, right? They're not letting up. And notice they were sent by none other than the Sanhedrin. When we hear priests and Levites, or even scribes, were sent by the Jews, we know the Sanhedrin are the Jews. Indulge me for a minute. Two warships with the largest full load displacement in the world are the U.S. Navy aircraft carriers. The USS Nimitz and Dwight D. Eisenhower weigh about 91,400 tons. They are 1,092 feet in length overall and have a speed well in excess of 30 knots with their nuclear-powered 280,000 horsepower reactors. Their complement is 6,100 men and women, which is more than a lot of towns. The total cost of the Eisenhower commissioned on October 18, 1977, exceeded $2 billion, excluding the more than 90-plus aircraft that they carry. As immense as these two ships are, they are both turned by one man at the helm, controlling a rudder 1/1,000th the size of the ship. A tiny rudder controls the course of these great ships. The Pharisees in Jerusalem, many being a part of the Sanhedrin, which was also known as the Great Sanhedrin, comprising up to 71 men, was like the rudder of a vast ship. These 71 men controlled over 1 million Jews. What they said was law, and they could convict and condemn up to and including the death penalty. 71 men in charge of over 1 million people. So when the priests and Levites asked for an answer, then began to beg John the Baptist, it was because there was no way they were going to return to this powerful body of men and say, "We don't know." He wouldn't answer. Much to their delight, John did answer by saying, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Then he quotes Isaiah saying, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Make straight. What does that mean? Well, in modern terms, we might say, clear a path, let him through, don't hinder him. This does not seem too confusing. It seems to be easily understood. But what about the last part of the scripture? We've dissected two parts. Let's go to the last one. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. Well, there you go. Still being confused, the priests and Levites asked, "Then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? In other words, from whence does your authority come?" You ever wanted to know where people's authority come from? Keep in mind, John the Baptist is not only defending his right to preach, but is standing up to the most powerful men of his time through their proxies. In addition, he is illustrating exactly why you and I should not be hesitant to spread the gospel. Seriously, it's not easy to step up against the authorities. Let me illustrate. During his years as premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of his predecessor, Joseph Stalin. Once, as he reproached Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience. "You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him?" "Who said that?" roared Khrushchev. An agonizing silence followed, as nobody in the room dared move a muscle. Then Khrushchev replied quietly, "Now you know why." Sometimes we're so scared we don't say anything. We fear the authority around us, so we don't open our mouths and we just let things happen. So here is how John responded. "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. Even he comes after me. He who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." Wait, did you hear that? Did you hear the strange thing I was talking about? It was right there. Anybody catch that? One more time. Listen carefully. "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." Baptizing with water, is that it? No, that was normal and had been going on for centuries. I've got it. John was not worthy to untie the thong of this unknown person. Is that it? No. No, that's not so strange. John is quite humble, in fact. So what is it? Try this. "But among you stands one whom you do not know." Among you. How many times have you read this passage and missed it? John knew that Jesus was among them. He was standing there as he spoke. He knew Jesus was there, but he did not know him personally. John didn't even know, but he sensed his presence. He sensed the presence among them, but could not point him out because not even John knew him yet. Is that not so much like many of us? We know about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? There's no doubt about it. John says, "Among you stands one whom you do not know." If Jesus were standing among us today, would you know him? Could you recognize him? Turn and look at the back. Just look, take a look back there. Did you know he was there? It's just like real life. Oftentimes we don't know that he's standing right there with us. Oftentimes we forget about him because it's something that we don't see, but we should sense his presence. If Jesus were standing among us today, would you know him? We are about to celebrate his birth and exchange gifts to represent the gift that God gave us in the form of a child. But do we know this child? Do we know who he really was and is? Or do we just tell people that we believe in Jesus, but we've never actually experienced knowing the Lord? If we read further, we would have heard these words. "The next day, he saw Jesus coming," that's John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me. I myself did not know him. I myself did not know him. But for this I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." Jesus had to be right in front of John approaching John before John recognized him. What will it take for us to recognize Christ in our lives and not just sense his presence? Are we going to have Christmas this year and tell the kids, open your presents, this is the day that Jesus was born? And then they're going to say, well, tell me about Jesus. Well, there's not a lot I can tell you. I just know I go to church. They may want to know your personal experience. In fact, I would bet they want to know. Because Jesus is in our midst, he stands with us. He walked and walks among us and seeks our friendship, our love, and our devotion. Do you recognize him in your life? It is so easy to go through life not seeing, not recognizing that which is before us. Remember the paper with the black dot, and everyone sees the black dot, but they miss the paper. There's the big picture. There's so much more to life than just our problems. There's also many blessings. And if you're sitting here with family, you have some of those blessings. We need to recognize our Lord in our lives. The priest and the Levites, they didn't recognize Jesus, and he was standing among them as John spoke. In fact, most of Jerusalem did not recognize who Jesus was. Are we doing it? Are we about to celebrate a time in which we don't even understand what it is we're celebrating? Is the Lord standing in our midst and we don't even know that he's there? This is a time in which we come in tune with the Lord. This is the time in which we celebrate the birth of he whom God sent for our redemption. What a wonderful season. And what a wonderful time to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, coming before you today, we know that oftentimes we talk about you and your Son, and yet we don't even know you and your Son. May we get to know you this Christmas. And may we remember that we hear words like, Jesus is the reason for the season, but it's not true. Jesus is not seasonal. He's all year round. May we keep in mind that Jesus is not a season, but he is the reason that we've been saved. And may we celebrate that every day, for we ask this in his name. Amen.